This morning, we're going to start a new series. I know that we have been in the book of Revelation for 25 weeks, roughly. And for those of you who are new or relatively new to the church or new within that 25-week period, when I do a longer series like this, oftentimes we'll have to, something will come up. And here's the deal. I just believe that Christmas and Easter are the two times of the year that are so uniquely different that we need to take the time. How many of you feel like me, like Christmas has just snuck up on you? Like, how did 11 and a half months get by and here we are, it's December already. I don't know about you, but that's how I'm feeling. And so I want to take the time over the course of the next several weeks to slow us down and to focus on what Christmas is really about. That being said, we're going to start with a video this morning. I'm going to ask Raymond to kill the lights and we're going to start with a video here this morning.
I'm gonna make a wish this Christmas. I'm gonna say a little prayer. I'm gonna stop here for a moment before the moment disappears. The world's in a hurry this December. City streets and shopping malls. Wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart of Christmas. Live while you can and cherish the moment, the ones that you love. Make sure they know. You can see the magic all around you. Come on and open up your eyes. You can find it in the warm embrace of your family or calling up a long lost friend. You can even find it in the eyes of a stranger when you reach out a helping hand. You can and cherish the moment, the ones that you love. Make sure they know.
Amen. So what is the heart of Christmas? During this series, we're going to look at the heart of Christmas. We're going to look at hope. We're going to look at peace. We're going to look at joy. This first week, I want to talk about hope. I think that's part of the heart of Christmas. One of the most common Christmas passages we find comes from the book of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah pens really what just becomes this iconic verse throughout the Old Testament prophecies about Christ. The passage is written, it's born out of doom. It's born out of gloom. You don't need to put that passage up there yet. We can surprise him in just a few minutes. But now that you know what it is. Really, this passage out of Isaiah is born out of darkness. In Isaiah's day, the world felt the full weight of sin. There was just that darkness everywhere. And what Isaiah offers us in chapter 9 is something that the Jewish people needed more than anything, and that was hope. Hope that one day things would be different. Hope that someone would come and make all things right, that would restore the broken relationship. You know, that's the problem that we have, right? Is that our relationship with God is broken. We're separated. The world's relationship with God is broken. The relationship with creation is broken. And the Jewish people needed that hope. Last week we talked about making lists. And make a list for Christmas, make a list for New Year's or resolutions. We make a list about Thanksgiving, the things we're thankful for. And if you don't believe in the power of lists or this resolution or the hope that comes from it, I read a story this week. Oh, okay. How many of you have ever watched a Christmas story with Ralphie? Okay. Well, what was it Ralphie wanted for his? Anybody remember what Ralphie wanted? Okay, exactly what he was asking for was a Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass and a stock and a thing that tells time. 30 times in that movie, you hear that a Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot BB gun with an air model rifle with a compass and a stock. And if you don't believe it, again, you just tell a kid to write out a list for Christmas, and as soon as they write that list, there's this hope that they're going to get everything on that list. I read a story. This is a true story, okay? This is a mom and dad, they asked their 5-year-old son to write down a list of what he wanted for Christmas. And he wrote down a couple of things, and one of the things that he put on a list was a banana. And so mom said, you probably don't need to put a banana on there. He said, but I really want a banana. And so mom said, well, you know, your list can be something else. And he said, well, isn't it my list? Can't I put a banana? She said, well, yeah, you can put a banana on there. And you're waiting for the punchline, but there really is no punchline. This 5-year-old kid just told his mom and dad every day how excited he was to get a banana. She figured he's going to forget. But he didn't forget. And so finally, Christmas morning, she thought, I better write a banana. He was praying about it last night. There was just this hope, this expectation that he was going to get a banana for Christmas. Now, I wish all Christmas gifts were that easy. Amen, moms and dads, right? Wouldn't that be great? Just send them a fruit basket and everything's done. This kid just could not. He just wanted a banana, and his heart was full when he opened the box that morning. And the mom just tells the story. It's hilarious. All the kid wanted was a banana. Well, the real reason for the hope that we have in Christmas isn't a banana, and it isn't a Christmas tree, and it isn't gifts, and it isn't decorations. But really, it's about the birth of Christ. That's what we celebrate. We don't celebrate trees. We celebrate his fulfillment. Now, we have a Christmas tree in church. We're not celebrating that tree. All we're doing is we're decorating. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, in verse 1, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. Anybody here qualify as ever being in distress? Have you ever been? I'm not saying every day, but have you ever been in distress? Well, here he says, there's no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations, by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness will have seen a great light. Matthew describes this, and we read it in the Gospels as well. The people walking in darkness will see a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice for you as a people rejoice for harvest. The warriors rejoice when dividing, as warriors who rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of the Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar that crosses their shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, every warrior's boot in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. That's the first part. Think about what Isaiah is saying. Every ounce of darkness that you've walked in, there's light coming for that darkness. There's hope coming for that darkness. There is a day coming when eternity is going to change. He goes on in verse 6. You've seen this on more Christmas cards than probably any other verse. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I just want you to think about, are we living in that day where that's fulfilled? We have a hope that comes in Christ. Christ was born, but we have not even seen the fulfillment of that, have we? You think our government is on God's shoulders right now? You think we're seeing his righteousness filled around us all the time? I want to tell you a little bit about Isaiah's day. The backdrop of this is about 740 BC, 740 years before Christ. And the nation was just filled with horrible sin and with poor leadership. And I'm not bashing any presidents. I just want you to know we're not the only one who felt like, you know, our government is not doing us right. There were four ungodly kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And those four kings combined took 111 years and led their people farther and farther and farther away from God. 111 years. 111 years. How many of you have seen our country walk away from God for 111 years? Don't raise your hand. How old are you, brother? We're walking, and we've got a government. We just don't have it. It's not just a government. We've got an education culture. We've got a culture in the media that wants to drag us away from God. What drags us towards God? Jeff says it all the time. Jeff says this in our men's group. I've heard him say it 100 times. We all know what we're saved from, but do we know what we're saved to? We're saved from hatred. We're saved from bitterness. We're saved from wrath. But what are we saved to? God's grace. We get to walk in that. You see, our world is, I don't know how to say it. I mean, our world's going to hell in a handbasket, right? He said that in church. Yeah, he did. But it's the truth. Isaiah makes two startling statements here, two major statements in this. The first is just the acknowledgement of the brokenness and the darkness that surrounded Israel due to the sin and the corruption. He says, there was gloom, there was distress, and there was darkness. You know what? We walk in a world where all that is around us. If you don't believe me, turn on the nightly news. Right? Shootings, rampages, people driving. You know, last year, 50-some people hurt when a guy drove his SUV through a Christmas crowd. There were people that were watching a Christmas parade. We live in a world that's walking away from God. But the second one that he makes, the second point that he makes, is that there is a dawn. There's a dawning. There's a light. There's a birth. There's one who's going to make it all right. And we know that as Jesus. But I'm telling you, we're not walking in the fullness of it yet. Right? You all don't know. Are we walking? Is our world walking in the fullness of the birth of Christ? Not a chance. Not a chance. Matthew reminds us about Isaiah's writings. The gospel writer makes this connection between what Isaiah had said prophetically and then what was taking place at the time in Bethlehem in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said. He's talking about the birth of Christ. He's talking about the angels. He's talking about the shepherds. He's talking about the wise men. He said, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord said to the prophet, that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. You see, the interesting part is that as believers, as followers of Christ, we get to walk with this internal hope that every day God walks with us. It's Christ with us. We have that hope. We have that life. We have that peace. But we live in a world where that is not yet fulfilled, right? How many of you believe there's a day coming when that's going to get fulfilled? Yes. That's going to happen. That's what we've been talking about in the book of Revelation. God's coming back. He's coming back, just like he fulfilled this promise. Now, I got to just pause here for a minute. Have you ever really just kind of questioned your faith and said, I don't see it. I'm just not sure. I'm not seeing the peace. I'm not seeing, I go to church and people still struggle, and we pray for people and there's still bad things that happen. We still have people who are hurting. Does that ever confound anybody, or is it just me? Sorry, I'm the pastor, but I'm just going to make this confession for you right now. Of course there's that struggle. And I think we're lying if we don't acknowledge it. There are times of doubt. There are times that come and you go, when is this all going to get resolved, God? Israel here as a nation during this time of prophecy of Isaiah was 700 years from the time of that prophecy until baby Jesus was born. 700 years. We're 2,000 years from what was considered the fulfillment of that prophecy. We're 2,000 years. We're over 2,700 years from these promises that Isaiah made. And we're still hanging on and going, you know what? We haven't seen the fulfillment of it yet. Scripture says that God is slow in his wrath because he wants all to come to believe in him. Isaiah spoke about this light that's coming. And then there was a young Jewish man by the name of Joseph who's engaged to this beautiful young girl. They're going to get married. And he finds out that she's 3 months pregnant. Do you think he questioned his faith? Do you think he questioned his God? Do you think he questioned his girlfriend? I think he questioned his girlfriend and all of her friends. And yet an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream. And he told him, you go forward with this because this child comes from the Holy Spirit. All of this took place to fulfill prophecies of old. As a matter of fact, not only does it fulfill Isaiah's prophecy, but it goes clear back to the book of Genesis. Right after the fall of man, God declares that the seed of woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of woman. We've heard of the seed of the man, right? But this is the seed of the woman. That declares clear back in the book of Genesis that this is going to be a virgin birth. There's prophecy clear back in Genesis, all throughout the Old Testament. If you look at the Old Testament, if you look at all of Scripture kind of like a figure eight, I don't know how to do this. There's a wreath up there. Pretend there's another wreath here, and there's this figure eight. And all of the Old Testament points towards Christ. All of the New Testament points back towards Christ. Christ is the focal point of all eternity. He always was, he always is, and he's always going to be. There is a day coming back where he is going to be the fulfillment. He's going to be the focal point. All the stuff that we see around us, all those things that draw us away from Christ, God's going to show himself so real, and he is going to draw himself. He's going to draw us back to that. And there is going to be a fullness that we're going to walk in. Look at, I'm so far ahead of myself. Let's go backwards just a little bit. I want to talk about more death and disease, right? Going backwards in my sermon. The center of the Christmas story, as we read it, we're going to read it over the next several weeks. The center of the Christmas story, the focal point of all of it, is the birth of a Savior, one who is going to deliver. And once again, we sometimes get frustrated or anxious. We want to see, God, we just want to see you do miracles. We want to see you bring hope. We want to see you bring life. And he's like, it's all there for you. It's all there for you. It's all there. We have a peace. How many of you have a peace and a joy in your life that you never had before you experienced Jesus? Right? Shout to the Lord, all the earth. I mean, there is a joy, there is a peace that we can have. And in a fallen world, 2 Timothy talks about this fallen world and this darkness. Mark this, Paul says to Timothy, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and boastful and proud and abusive and disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. Look around, watch the news, watch anything you see on TV. This is exactly the picture. You're seeing Scripture. We can see Scripture. You say, well, I've never seen a fulfillment of prophecy. Look at the news. Watch TV. You will see the fulfillment of this prophecy every time you turn that thing on. Right? Get involved with some unsaved people. Guess what? You will hear about the chaos in their life that is fulfillment of this word. It's exactly what this says. I just gave an individual a ride the other day, and you want to talk about chaos, lovers of themselves, boast, arrogant, unbelievable. I'm giving this guy a ride, and it's like everything is about them. The chaos in their family, I'm like, man, you are living 2 Timothy. What should I do? I'm like, run, get a new life. Get out of this, go away. Find a church, turn to Jesus. Well, I'm not really religious. Then live in your sin, I guess. No, really. I hope you like it, because more of the same is coming. We live in a world that wants to deny God, and yet they want a better life. Where does our hope come from? Oh, it comes from packages under a Christmas tree, Pastor. I can go and open up that package, and something really special is going to happen for about 7 seconds. And then you're going to quit playing with the toy, and you're going to quit playing with the box, and you're going to burn the garbage and the wrapping. And it's all done, and it's all gone, because that does not bring life. Right? There is no Christmas tree that's going to bring life. There's no Christmas present that's going to bring life. The greatest gift we ever had was the gift that was born on that day that we celebrate as Christmas. That's the hope. That's the life. That's the peace. Because that very stable led to the cross. That's the hope. This is the fulfillment. This is the chaos. This is the life. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter. This will get you excited. This ought to get you excited. This gets me excited. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. What do you place your hope in? A car? The bank? The house? What about your spouse? In other words, we have a lot of hope in our... No, we have a living hope right here. We have a living hope. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You have an inheritance in Christ. You got to get this. You got to get this. You got to get this. You got to understand this. We live in a world that's filled with chaos. We live in a world that's filled with struggle. If you take your eyes off of Christ for 2 seconds, you're going to be wrapped up in that chaos. Our hope that does not fade, our hope that's eternal, is in Christ and only in his birth, his death, and his resurrection. That's where our hope is. Anything else takes you off track. Anything else takes you off track. I love four-wheeling. I love snowmobiling. I love being outside doing. I like going fast. I like doing all kinds of things. Riding a motorcycle, all that's just really great. But you know what? All that does is get me one step closer to Jesus. That doesn't really bring me hope. Right? My wife just hopes I have the insurance policy paid up before I get on those things. It does not bring any hope. It doesn't bring any life. It may take my eyes off of the things of this world for a while, but it doesn't bring me eternal hope. Our inheritance, you and I have an inheritance that can never perish. Somebody say amen. Isn't that a good thing? It can never spoil. It can never fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for us. He's talking about us. You who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last times. In all of this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of troubles. Scripture tells us there are days when we're going to have to suffer grief. Why? Because we live in a fallen world, right? Are we immune from that fallen world? You put your trust in your car. You put your hope in your doctor. You put your joy, your peace in a bank. Guess what? That can all close in a heartbeat. It can all switch in a heartbeat. I just had a conversation with our missionary friend in Haiti. Next week we'll give you maybe a bit of an update. But one of the things that we have to do is figure out ways to get them resources because they can't trust their local bank. We send U.S. funds to their local bank, and before they can get the money turned back over to them, funds are missing from their local bank. Don't put your trust in the bank. Now, there are people that work at the bank, and I'm okay with that. God bless you all. We appreciate it. But that's not where our hope comes from. That's not where our joy comes from. That's not where our peace comes from. Any of you ever made an investment that went south other than me? Sure we have. All of us have made those mistakes. You can't put our hope and our confidence in that. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last day. I believe, the last time, I believe there is a salvation that's coming that we have not yet experienced. No, you don't need to come to the cross again. No, you don't need to come to the altar again. No, you don't need to ask for a second salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I believe there's a day when the fulfillment of what Isaiah was saying, where the government truly is on the shoulder of Jesus Christ, where we're going to see a righteousness, where we're going to walk in a peace, where we're going to walk in a joy, where there is going to be no more tears, there's going to be no more fears, there's going to be no more crying, there's going to be no more angst, there's going to be no more fear. No more death, no more dying. Those days are coming. That's what we're believing. That's what we put our hope in, is the eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus. There are still struggles. James says, count it all joy, my brothers. I've shared this before. Count it all joy. When he says that, he's saying, embrace that trouble like an old friend. Count it all joy. Guess what? Troubles are going to come. Every one of us in this room are going to face it. But there is an eternal hope that we have in Christ Jesus. He goes on in verse 7. See, that hope does not come absent of struggle. There's going to be struggle. It doesn't come absent of sickness. It doesn't come absent of all the problems. Listen, verse 7. These have come, what has come? What has come? All of this, in all of this, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come, the grief, the trials, have come to prove in the genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold. He's saying your faith is worth more than gold ever can. Gold is going to perish even though it's refined by fire. But you're going to recognize, I wish we could truly understand it. That hope and that life that we have in Christ, Peter says it's a living hope. When you grab a hold of that truth, regardless of the troubles, regardless of the struggles, you have an inheritance in eternity. And all those struggles are doing is they're just there to prove to you how real your faith is. You get that? You know how many times the church has done stupid things like said, well, you know, if you'd had more faith, that wouldn't happen to you, man. If you'd have just had a little bit more faith, you wouldn't see that problem. That's not what Peter says at all. Peter says these troubles are going to come, and when they come, what they're going to do is they're going to prove the reality of your faith in the one who gives us hope. In the one who gives us life. The heart of Christmas is about that hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Even in the struggles, even in the difficulty, even in the loss, These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. We get to walk in such hope, in such life, that we can praise God in the midst of these struggles that we face, and it's just going to reveal who he is when he's revealed. We're going to sit back and go, I knew it! I knew it! I knew it! I knew it all along! I knew your word was right! I knew it! I knew it! That's what that means. That's what that means. You're going to go through the rapture and go, I knew it all along, man! This is great! I knew it was coming! Yes, I had struggles. I knew it! Though Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Believe, cling to, trust in, rest in. You believe in him. And you're filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go. There's that joy that we have. I can tell all you're walking in it, man. I got joy. I got joy. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Well, get it out of your heart. Get it out of your, down in the depth of your being and let it get up to your face, right? We walk in a joy, in a life, in a peace, in a hope that the world does not have. Do you know that? We've got something, folks. We've got something. We really do. For you receive you, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you have not seen him, now you believe in him and you're filled with an inexpressible glory. Every time you look in the mirror, you should see an inexpressible, glorious joy. Right? Right? I told you the story of my glass guy. I used to have a trucking outfit that delivered all my, well, they didn't deliver my glass. They hauled all my glass. And I would go there to pick it up, and one day the forklift operator stops the forklift, and I'm walking over to get my glass, and he's like, you know, you just remind me of a pregnant woman. And I thought, man, I got to go on a bit of a diet here. I got problems. And that's what I did. And he's like, no. He said, it's that glow. It's that glow, like there's just something different about you. And I said, you know, that's Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. Look, folks, there should be this inexpressible joy. And I'm telling you, if you're walking around in life and if you're carrying all those burdens and we've got all these fears and we're just really not sure, we need to press into Jesus a little bit. We need to take some time and get away. We need to go back and read Psalm 100 over and over and over and over again until it gets down in us. We need to get a hold of God's word. You need to read through 1 Peter 1, start in verse 3, read through verse 9, read the whole thing. Just read 1 Peter. While you're at it, read Ephesians chapter 1, because in him, through him, by him, everything is there. Everything, every spiritual gift, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus belongs to who? It belongs to us. Every spiritual, oh God, I just ask you to bless me. He's like, I did, it's done. Ephesians 1, read it. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Folks, we have hope. We have life. Peter goes on to say, even though you haven't seen me, there's this great expressible joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, salvation of your souls. It tells me that salvation is something that takes place in an instant, and it's something that's ongoing. It continues. We're receiving the salvation of our souls. We need to walk out the truth. When we doubt, Don't be afraid of these things. Don't be afraid of them. Acknowledge them. That's the thing about Isaiah. Is Isaiah saying, there is a darkness on the face of the earth, but there's a dawn coming. It might be Friday, but Sunday's on its way. That's the whole deal about the Psalms. You read the Psalms, it seems like David is up and down, up and down, up and down. I think he's an honest writer. He's telling you exactly what he's going on in his life. And he's like, but I know my God. I know my God. I'm going to hang on to that source of hope. If you want to know the heart of Christmas, I think part of the heart of Christmas is God with us, Emmanuel. Christmas is a reminder for us that whatever we have hope for in our life, whether it's healing, restoration, forgiveness, a fresh start, it's available through Emmanuel, God with us. A living hope. Again, not in an absence of conflict, not in an absence of difficulty or struggle or trial, but hope is rather the presence of God. It's being grabbing hold of the presence of God. And the hard part about hope is sometimes it takes a little bit longer than what we want. Right? What does the Bible say, though? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance. Evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not yet seen. I have two more stories I want to tell you. One is about a plant called the American agave. Agave americanus. Anybody know what that is? It's ridiculous. Okay, it's this plant that grows in the southern part of the United States. It gets big leaves, about a foot. It gets to be about, you know, so between 6 and 12 feet in diameter, 5 to 6 feet high, depending on what size it is. And this thing will live between 8 and 80 years. And it never blooms. Until one day, for one whatever reason, all of a sudden this thing, the big ones are like 12 feet in diameter, about 6 feet high. All of a sudden, it shoots up a bloom one day. And that bloom goes up between 30 and 40 feet. Plant lives for 80 years, and all of a sudden it shoots up a bloom. They claim that the trunk of it is like a small tree. This thing shoots up. You can actually watch it grow up to 7 inches a day. 7 inches a day. You could just about watch that. This thing goes up and it shoots up this spectacular bloom. I guess the bloom hangs around for, you know, 3 weeks, maybe a month. And the moment that thing blooms, it begins to die because it's lost its host plant. But when it does, it also stretches out and it leaves, well, what scientists actually call is a clone of itself. It leaves a replica of itself. Sometimes hope takes a little while. Sometimes those things that we're hoping for, we don't see the results right away. Don't let go of God. Don't let go of God. His promises, the Bible say, are yes and amen. Don't let go of God. Hang on. I'll share one more story with you, and then we'll close with this. James Dobson tells this story of an elderly woman, and her name is actually Stella Thornhope. Now, I didn't know her name was going to be Hope at the end, but Stella Thornhope. It was her first Christmas after her husband had passed away. He passed away just a couple months prior to Christmas, and he had had a slow-moving cancer. Several days before Christmas, it snowed. It was a terrible snowstorm. People were all snowed in. She could have got out if she wanted to, but she just decided it wasn't worth it. She wasn't going to go out and shovel. She's too old. It just wasn't worth it. And so she felt so alone. Nobody was coming to see her. And she just decided, you know what? I'm just not going to decorate for Christmas this year. It's just her husband had passed away. All of her hope. Just wasn't worth it. She's just not going to decorate. Later on in that afternoon, this was like a week before Christmas when the snowstorm came. And again, most of the roads were shut down. But late that afternoon, the doorbell rings. And there's a delivery boy standing there with a box. "Are you Mrs. Thornhope?" he says. "Yes, I am. Would you sign for this package?" The wind was blowing, so she invited him in, closed the door. She signed the paper and she said, "What's in the box?" And the young man laughed. And he opened up the flap of the box, and inside was a golden Labrador retriever, just a puppy. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup. I'm just going to read it as he wrote it. And he explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He is 6 weeks old. He is completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness, being released from its captivity. "Who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope asked. The young man set the animal down, and he handed her an envelope, and he said, "It's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while the mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." And the young man handed her a book that says, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." In desperation, she asked again, "Who sent me this puppy?" And as the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband did, ma'am. Merry Christmas. She opened a letter from her husband that he had written 3 weeks before he died. And then he left the letter with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was filled with love and encouragement and admonition to be strong. And then he vowed that he would be waiting for her the day that she would join him in heaven. And he had sent this young animal, he told her, to keep her company until then. So she wiped the tears away and she puts down the letter, and then she picks up the puppy. And she, while she's picking up the puppy, she hears the song on the radio, was joy to the world. And so all of a sudden, she was filled with hope. And she grabbed her puppy and snuggled it in, and she said, "Little fella, it's just you and me this Christmas, but you know what? There's a box down in the basement that I'll bet you're going to like. It's got a little Christmas tree and some decorations in it, and I think it's going to impress you. And there's a manger, too. So let's go get it." God is always there for us. There was a box on my desk. It's actually a gift for Crystal Castro, but it's a snowflake that says hope. And I think part of the gift that we have at Christmas is the hope that we have in Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, there are those of us that are going through struggles. We go through doubts. We want to see you move. We want to see you move now. We want to see this thing happen. Why don't you take away all those doubts and all those fears? Just like in the Old Testament, God, we're going to believe in hope. We know that we have a God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came. His Spirit's here for us to grab a hold of, to walk in that life and that hope. But sometimes we still need to see it, God. We still want to see it. I thank you for the living hope that you give us in the resurrected Christ. I thank you for the living hope that we see in the body of Christ. I thank you for the living hope that we see in your word. And I ask, God, that you would just bring that life and that hope to this congregation, to this body, to anybody who's watching online that just says, "I'm really struggling today and I need something." You give us hope. We believe that's part of the heart of Christmas. We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If anybody would like to come forward this morning and have some prayer, maybe you need a little hope, we'll be here to pray for you. Have a great afternoon.